Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
If he didn't know, he came from the glory, okay? I reckon God must just love that. I just laughed so much when I saw it. But, you know, she's just captured this great news, this great joy, this passion of God. And, you know, in the Bible says that as shepherds, they're in Bethlehem and, you know, Israel are waiting for their Saviour. They're waiting for God to come and save them, deliver them. And it says that the shepherds were in the fields guarding their flocks and angels suddenly appeared, okay? And if you just really, you know, just think about this, something shifted in the earth that night, okay? The angels suddenly appeared. It says they were terrified, okay? So these guys were shocked. Don't be afraid, the angels said. I bring you good news of great joy. The Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord has been born. And suddenly a great host appeared singing. So even more angels, suddenly angels, massive, huge, taking up the whole skyline, singing glory to God and peace on earth. And goodwill to all men. And there's another scripture that says, and some of these you might, you know, at Christmas, you hear often, the people who live in darkness will see a great light. For a child is born, a son is given. Government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and peace will never end. The passionate commitment of the Lord will accomplish this. God, in his sovereign will, decided to send his son as a baby, born into Israel, into Bethlehem, Judea. And God had said to the Israelites, I will make a covenant of peace with you that will never be broken. Okay, a covenant is a binding promise by God of heaven and earth, a binding promise that will never be broken, and it's a promise of peace, okay? And this peace that was talked about, this peace that God talked about, this relationship comes from the word shalom, okay? And it means completeness. It means being made whole. It means contentment. It means rest. It means on the inside of you, the absence of agitation or discord. It means health. It means being made perfect. It means to live well. And it comes from a root word that means that's shelem or shulem, which means to be fully paid for or forgiven. That's the peace that Jesus came to give. It's not just an English word of peace. It's that there's a depth, there's a feeling, there's a reality to it. That's tangible, okay? And there's another verse in the Bible that says, this message of good news, which this angel had got a hold of, is for the people of Israel and the whole world. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Okay, that peace, that promise came through a person. And I just want to read to you what Jesus said of himself, okay? And this is before he's going to die. And he's speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to those closest to him. And but it's written for everyone that will believe in him. He says, don't let yourself be disturbed, but trust in God. And trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Know me and you will know the Father. And the amazing thing about Jesus when he came is that the Israelites, they'd known God, as mighty, as one to be obeyed and one to look to. But Jesus spoke of God as Father. He had this relationship of love. And he spoke to them that God was the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Know me, and you will know the Father. I will ask the Father, and he will send you the comforting Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is the person of God who comes to live in us and comfort us. Okay? Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. What does that mean? He doesn't want us to be alone. That even though he was going to die, he was going to die on the cross and then raise again, raise up and go and be in heaven. He said, I will leave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter and a counselor who speaks truth into our lives. That we will not be left on our own. We will not be left as orphans. Okay? I will come back to you and I will come back for you. So this is our Creator Father, okay, made the whole world and the people in it, giving Jesus his Son, that we could have relationship with him, no longer orphans in this world, no longer orphans, but loved and accepted, totally loved, like we've already heard this morning, totally loved by God. This is good news. And totally accepted, his peace making that way, and that we know inside that we're accepted. And he said, Jesus said, I leave you a gift, my peace. I'm giving you my peace. Don't let yourselves be upset, troubled, frightened, but trust me. Okay? And I just want to share a bit of testimony of my life and how I came to find this peace that God's talking about. And you know, like the angel in this picture. You know, I thank God for primary schools and junior schools and church schools, or even if you come from a family where they teach you, you know, when you're little and you grow up singing about Jesus, you grow up just believing what you're singing when you're a child. Well, I didn't grow up with that in my home, but I know when I was at sort of infant school and nursery school that I would we would sing these carols. And I remember when I was little, I believed what I was singing. I just did. and then life happens quite often. Even if you're small and you've started singing, you know, believing that kind of the nativity, life happens. And for me, I grew up in a family that weren't believers in God. And I just want to share a little bit about my mum, because she's here. She's a member of this church. And she, her dad died when she was young. And she married young, and then her mum died, and she was left in a marriage and pregnant with me, and she, you know, acknowledges that there was a breakdown in her and her life and her marriage, and that then led to her and my dad, you know, splitting when I was about 4 or 5, I think, and so. We then moved on, and my mum remarried, and we were sort of there for a few years in that situation, and then that marriage broke down, and not sort of my mum's fault, but you know, stuff happens, and that broke down, and we moved on, and my mum met somebody else that we moved in with when I was about 9 years old, and. And my mum didn't know this, but this guy was an alcoholic and violent. And so we moved in with this guy, and inside of me was, I'd gone from a little kid sort of believing this stuff, I guess, and, you know, just getting on with life and going to school. And then gradually, when all this stuff was going on inside of me, was pain and fear. And then when the violence kicked in, and that was going on for like 10 years until we managed to leave that situation, I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of frustration. When you're in a situation, especially as a child, when you're out, it's outside of your control and you can't do anything to change it or escape from it, what that breathes in, you know, what that bred in me. And so this situation going on at home where I loved my mum and I felt sorry for her, but at the same time I hated the fact that we were in this and we couldn't, you know, we couldn't get out of it. And I guess I describe myself as going through my teenage years as just wanting to get out of this situation. So doing everything I could to get out, you know, of the home. And inside, broken-hearted, I know that not having my dad around, wanting to be with him. And lost, full of fear, like I said, anger. And there was a hardness, you know, that happens in kids when they go through that kind of stuff. And as I got older, I started drinking quite young, and then I started taking drugs quite young. And it's all an escape, isn't it? It's all to escape the pain, escape the reality. But actually what was going on was, it was a destruction going on in my life and in my body and in my mind. And it was a slippery slope. And where I was trying to do things to help ease the pain and the lostness, it was not good. I was going downhill fast. And my mum then got saved. And what happened was, my brother knew Clive, my husband, who was up here just now, if you don't know him. And my brother knew Clive, they were best mates at school, and my brother knew enough about God to tell my mum the gospel, the good news of God's love for her. And she'd got to the point where she wanted to end her life. And my brother rocked up on the doorstep one night, and she had it all planned out what she was going to do. And he told her about God's love. And he told her that Jesus died for her to come and bring peace into her life and her heart and give her a whole new start. And she says, she cried, she said to God, okay, if you're real, if you are real, if you can really give me a whole new start, then I give you a chance. I just give you one chance. And somebody down at Clive's household prayed with my mum the next day. She went to see them, she went to talk. And she never looked back since. She never looked back since. And God came into her life in such a powerful, life-transforming way, and I saw it, and I knew it was real. I knew, and it wasn't that she suddenly started going to church and all kinds of weird and wonderful things, because she wasn't very well. She couldn't actually, you know, get there at first. And that was in the Easter, like 28 years ago. It was a long time, a lifetime ago now. And I was looking after my mum while she wasn't very well. And I was going to go off. I was going to go travelling with a friend of mine. And we were on drugs and it wasn't good. We were going to go abroad. And I'd left my job to go. And my mum said to me, she needed to have an operation. She said, will you look after me while this is going on? Will you stay? Will you postpone your trip to look after me? And I didn't want to, but I did. And in that time where I would sit with my mum, she would just talk about the love of God. And she would just talk about this peace that she'd come into, how everything in her had changed because she'd met with God. And I knew that it was real. I knew that the presence of God, when she talked about it, was tangible. And I would just leave the room crying. Part of me resisting, part of me, this is this. I know this is real. This is so real. And that was in the summer. So I got to the point then where I said, okay, God, I think I believe that you're real. I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you. The things that, if you like, that were said. That Jesus went to the cross. He punished by God for our sins. And God laid on him the guilt of us all. My mum had so much guilt. So much guilt, so much shame and pain. But she'd put it all on Jesus and he'd taken it away. And I knew that reality and I knew I needed it for myself. Because in my journey of trying to get rid of all this pain, I had done things that I was ashamed of, that I was guilty of, that where I'd hurt people, where I'd been in relationships that had left me broken, all looking for something that actually only God was going to be able to bring me. It says, for God was pleased to live in Christ and through him reconcile everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. This included me, who was far away from God. I was his enemy, separated from him by evil thoughts and actions. But now he has reconciled me to himself through the death of Christ. And as a result, he has brought me into his presence. And I am holy and blameless as I stand before him without a single fault. That's what the word of God says. God has done. God has accomplished on the cross. And for me, when I heard it, I believed it. But I had to come to a place of not just believing what I was hearing, but actually trusting my life to this God. And trust is a bigger issue, isn't it? Because we can believe, like probably that little, those kids are doing, like I was doing when I was young. You can believe something that you hear, that, yeah, that's great. But actually, what this demands, what this was asking of me, was to trust my life into someone else's hands and trust that it was going to be all right. Would he let me down? And this was the point, this point I came to. And it's interesting because I met a friend of mine. We actually became Christians at the same time. When I became a Christian, my mum, there was a number of us all in the village at the same time. I'm sure Clive's parents were all praying for the different people in the village. And there were a number of us that got saved. And I caught up with a friend of mine about 5 or 6 years ago that I hadn't seen for a long time. We got saved the same day. We prayed on the same day. And she said to me, she said, I remember that day. She said, it was so desperate. She said, because you had said to me a couple of weeks before, I've had enough of this. And I want to start taking heroin. And that was the place I got to. That hardness, that pain. And I had a choice. I had a choice. And the Bible says, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts. And I know I had a choice. I either carry on this path. And I know where it would have gone. It was destruction. And I know I wouldn't have been here today if Jesus hadn't got hold of me. And I've got friends that have died. I heard of one recently. A friend of mine when I was about 12, 13. And I heard a couple of weeks ago that he died recently. Homeless alcoholic. And, you know, my age. I'm not old. 40-odd. He was probably about 49. And that's, you know, like Eric said, we have an enemy, a devil, who is out to steal, kill and destroy our lives. And that was the path I was on. And was I gonna trust him? Was I gonna trust my life to him? So this point of surrender where I could be free from all this stuff and put my life, the control of my life into the hands of somebody else, But I believed somebody who loved me, somebody who was going to take care of me. So what I did was I said, okay, God, I need to pray. And Clive's dad had written a book called Anything You Ask, and you can still get hold of it, I think. And there's a chapter in there about writing a letter to Jesus. And this is what I did. And I put Dear Jesus at the top, okay, very simple. And I wrote out everything, absolutely everything that had gone on in my life, that either had been done to me or I'd done to others. And I wrote down everything, the good, the bad and the ugly, hopes and fears and everything. I wrote everything out. This was going to be everything. I was swapping everything, my sin, for his goodness, for his love and for his peace. And I wanted to do a thorough job. And I read that out in front of this lady from Clive's household that came to pray with me. And I wanted to have a whole new start. When the Bible talks about being born again, that's what it was like. I wanted a whole new start and give him absolutely everything that was going on in me, all the fear, the pain, the anger, the shame, the guilt, everything. And there's a scripture that says, very simply, okay, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believed it, I believed he'd come to die for me, and it says, and trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered, you will be saved. Okay? With the heart, one goes on trusting and are made right with God. And with the mouth, we make public acknowledgement and we continue towards salvation, towards deliverance. For everyone who rests his trust on him will not be ashamed. That's amazing. Everyone who rests their trust on him will not be ashamed. And for me, that day was the most amazing day of my life. And everything changed from that moment, because it's like he took all that stuff. He took all that pain, all that rubbish. He took it away, okay? He took it off for me. And I asked him to come and live in me, fill me with his Holy Spirit, with his comforter who came into my life and changed me. So I've never looked back either. Most amazing day. It can take time to process, to change in some aspects, some of the things that God does in us, taking us from being a fearful person to not being afraid anymore, to being full of pain and anger, to being totally, totally free. And that's his peace. That's the shalom that he came to give, that the angels were declaring, this peace that comes on the inside of us, a completeness. We're complete in God alone. We're made whole by God alone. He gives us rest. Rest from all our worries. Rest from our fears. Rest from striving. I couldn't get right with God. I wasn't even going to try. I wouldn't even know how. I didn't know that much about him. I just knew he'd come to die for me, take away my sin. This rest that we can come into, okay? Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest in our soul. It's an end to destruction. It's an end to destruction going on in our lives. It's an end to turmoil, inner turmoil, okay? Now, when we became Christians, my mum and I, we were still living in this house with my stepfather, and actually the violence increased for a time, because you could just see how it's a spiritual battle that's going on. We became Christians, what was in him rose up and got worse. Okay? It's not that all of a sudden life changes around you, your circumstances change. It's what happens on the inside of us. This peace that's tangible, this completeness and wholeness, this rest of faith is that whatever's going on, God, I trust you and you are going to see us out through this. And he did. And he did. He's powerful. He is so powerful. We go from darkness to light. And that's why the angel said, the word says about this, light will shine in the darkness. It's like light comes on. Light happens on the inside of us. My mum has been shining. She shines with Jesus. Can you stand up, Mum? I never embarrassed her. But you know what? There's a reality to this. We never used to get on. You can understand all the stuff that went on. And we're so close now. We've been in the same church for years, well, all these years mainly. She's been on her own ever since. But Jesus is her husband. Jesus is her father. She has a deep trust and faith in Jesus that's never left her from the day she got saved. And I honour that because it's helped me. She hears him so clearly. God is so practical. He's so kind. How he just speaks to her, leads her. And I've seen that reality from what we were living in. And I know from where she's come from herself. Darkness to light. No depression. He says, come to me, you are burdened and weary, carry heavy burdens. He takes depression. He takes the weight of sin off of us. He takes the weight of shame and guilt and pain out of us completely. There is security. This is all what rest means, okay? There is serenity. There's no danger. There is total victory. And that's why we can rejoice. That's why it's a message that is so full of joy. Because we have total victory by what he has accomplished. Not by anything we can do ourselves, but purely what he has accomplished for us. We can live in victory and in great joy. Amen?
Amen.
He's made covenant. He promised he would bring this peace. And it says that in the Bible that Jesus is the new covenant. He shed his blood. He sacrificed for this new promise that as we come into relationship with him, shalom is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That peace is a relationship. It's not a faith formula. It's a deep, deep relationship that never leaves you or forsakes you. And it says, we who have trusted have entered his rest. We who have trusted have entered this rest. And it says, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts, but trust him and enter his rest today. And he said, I leave you this gift. It's a gift from God. And it's the greatest gift, I believe. Peace with God is the greatest gift you will ever have. You'll ever have. This good news of great joy, where we can be overwhelmed with joy because of what he has done in us. And I am so thankful to God that he broke into our lives, like he broke into the darkness in Bethlehem. When he came with those angels, bam, he broke in. He breaks into our lives to bring light, to bring health, to bring wholeness. And it says, if we trust him and say, yes, God, we trust his word, we trust his ways. It says that we become children of God. You know, on the sort of Sermon on the Mount where Jesus preached the word, and it says, blessed are the peacemakers, For they are children of God. And that's who we are. When we have this peace on the inside of us, we carry that peace to other people. We live in a place of peace. My home is a place of peace. My kids have grown up in a place of peace because I am at peace, totally, with my God. We are peacemakers. Wherever we go, we are to carry his peace. And you know, when God declared about peace coming to the earth through Jesus, we're still looking, aren't we? Where is this peace? What does that look like? There's no peace in Israel where it first was declared, you know. We carry that peace. We carry that light to those around us. We are the difference. We bring that completeness and wholeness into other people's lives. He is the Prince of Peace that now lives in us. Are we at peace? Do you have that deep trust in him that you can give to other people? The people can see it on you. They can feel it. They want to know what it is. You bring peace wherever you go. That you are a peacemaker. We reconcile people to one another. I prayed with my dad before he died. I wrote to my stepfather and I told him I'd forgiven him and I asked him to forgive me as well. That's what peacemakers are. That's what reconcilers are. We have been forgiven so we can forgive. And my stepfather died young. He died. Again, just pure destruction in his life. He died young. But I made peace with him before he did. Because that's what's in me now. And that's what God will urge me to do always. Yeah. Seek peace and pursue it with one another. We will see that peace in this earth. Because God has made covenant with the earth to rule and reign in peace. He is coming back. He is coming back and he will do it. And in these days that we're in of turmoil and darkness, great darkness will cover the earth. But we carry the peace. We are the light that's going to shine in the darkness. And it's all because we trust him. We trust this message. We're going to hear it more and more over Christmas. In little ways. But it's the most profound thing that's ever happened on this earth, is that Jesus came to bring peace. But it comes on the inside of you, the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We really want to pray right now for... Can you stand? Can I have the band up, please? And we're going to just want us all to pray. If we could just close our eyes. And just in your heart, as you've heard these words, if you believe, if you believe the gospel, if you believe that God sent his son to die on a cross, to take your sin, your pain, your guilt, your shame, to take it all from you, that you could come into relationship with God, that you could come into peace. If you believe that in your heart, and that's what it says said in that scripture, if you believe that in your heart, and you can say, Jesus, I believe. I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you came and died on the cross for me. I believe that you died for me. You took my sin, you took my pain, you took my shame, you took depression. I can come to you and give it all to you, and you can take it. You can forgive me. You can make me whole. If you believe that in your heart, and then you can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe it. It's simple. It is simply believing, but then trusting that as you do that, He's going to come. He is going to come with His peace, with His presence, with His Holy Spirit, His comforter, and comfort you. Jesus didn't come to judge you. He came to save you. He came to love you. He came to come and live in you by His Holy Spirit and take every weight and every sin and every burden, take it out of your life forever. And you can live with Him, peace with God, for the rest of your days. And He promises to never leave you and never forsake you. And you will live and walk in that place of deep, deep trust and relationship with Him, where we don't strive anymore. Can you say that to Him now? Can you say that to Him now? Jesus, I believe you came to die for me. I believe you came to take my sin upon yourself on the cross. Take it, Jesus. Take it. Take it all. Take it all, Jesus. I give it to you. I give it to you. You say to give it to you. And I give it to you right now, Jesus. I give you my sin. I give you my life. I trust you. I trust you, Jesus, with my life, with my past, with my future. Jesus, and you take it all away. That you come, you forgive me, you forgive me. That Lord, you come and fill me. Come and fill me with your peace. Come and fill me with your presence. Come and fill me. Holy Spirit, comforter, come and comfort me. Come and teach me. Come and fill me. Lord, that this weight would go and I would be so full of joy. So full of joy. So full of peace. In place of stress, in place of sickness, there would be your health. There would be ease. Ease in my mind, ease in my body, ease in my emotions. Your shalom peace, Lord, in my heart and in my life. Thank you, Jesus. It says, the word says, if you believe that, and you can confess that, if you can speak that out to Him, that you are saved. You're the process of Him coming and filling you and taking, giving you a whole new life, being born again, if you like, starting over again with Him. This starts right now. But also believe that there are Christians, there are people here today that may believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but you know, you want a deep trust in Him. There needs to be a deep trust in Jesus, a place of rest and a place of peace. And I really believe that God wants to just minister to different people this morning. Those of you that want to respond, that want that peace, that want that rest in their soul, in their mind, in their spirit, in their body, that God wants to minister His peace to you. So I'm just going to, the guys are going to play. We're just going to do Amazing Grace. But I just ask, if you want that deep peace and rest and trust with God, that you would come forward, because we want to pray. Some of us on the front row here who have that peace and that rest with God would pray for you, because it's what Jesus came to give, peace and rest. So if you want to come forward, we're going to pray for you and speak peace. shalom over you. You may be a Christian that needs this peace and this rest and trust. It's maybe you may be here for the first time and you want to meet with Jesus. You want to trust him with your life. You want to entrust your life to him. Give him the sin, give him the pain. And if you prayed that earlier, as I was just leading you through, if you felt yourself say, yes, Jesus, and please come forward now, and we can pray for you also, because it's the same peace for everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.